And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Standig Grimaldi podcast. Yes, I'm your host, Ben Standig. I cover the Washington Commanders for The Athletic. Happy, Sunday or Monday to you, depending on when you're listening to this. It's early Sunday evening here on the East Coast, and we're just a few short days away from the NFL draft. It's time to do it. It's time to do it. A live mock draft, first round, Trevor Sikkema with Pro Football Focus, a really good NFL draft thinker. He joined me. We went alternating picks 1-31 to play out how the first round might go. Obviously, when we're doing it, it's not like a mock draft like I'm going to turn in for a contest, but we talked through the picks, try to explain our rationale, what we're thinking at each spot. And of course, we spent some time debating the 16th pick and what could be in play there for the Commander. So a lot of fun. Really enjoy it. So we'll get to that in a moment. Trevor is at Tampa Bay Trey, T-R-E on Twitter. Of course, you can follow him there. You can follow me at Ben Standig. Guess I'm going to have to give out the Twitter handles these days since the blue checks are gone and it's hard to know who is who, but those are what we are there. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, of course, on iTunes, or Spotify, or wherever you do your podcasting. If you've been busy the last few days and you've missed it, make sure you catch up. We've gone real heavy here with the draft while we're in a bit of a pause with the franchise sale. Last week, Matt Miller from ESPN and Matt Bowen from ESPN joined me for a lot of great insight. Earlier in the week, Fred Smoot and I, we talked, that was more about the sale and the Dan Snyder era, but make sure you go check all of that out. In addition, Jordan Reed, another ESPN, not the tight end, the ESPN analyst, he and I spoke the other day as well. I will play that interview for you this week. For sure. Other than that, like it's been, you know, since I spoke to you last on Thursday, not like there hasn't been much else that has happened here. I will have a new Commander's big board up on The Athletic. And I played the game I mentioned to you guys the other day here that Ron Rivera seemed to suggest, perhaps, that they've got like a group of five players that they are considering at 16, and therefore starting with the 11th pick, they'll be watching to see which of those guys is available, and then what do they do from there. I threw out five names to the other day. Those names included, who did they include? Darnell Wright, the right tackle from Tennessee. I think that, to me, would be my odds-on favorite right now. If he's on the board, they could go in a whole ton of directions. But if you made me pick, I would probably pick Darnell Wright. In any event, Brian Branch, the safety slot corner from Alabama. Lucas Van Ness, pass rusher out of Iowa. Broderick Jones, he is another offensive tackle. If Darnell Wright is gone, Jones could be there. And I did have previously Deontay Banks, the cornerback from Maryland, but I'm going to switch that up. I'm going to instead have Emmanuel Forbes, the cornerback from Mississippi State, very fascinating prospect. He is 166 pounds. That is obviously, that might be good for the beach, not great necessarily playing professional football. However, he is a very good player. Since the 2020 season, he led college football with 14 interceptions, six of which he returned for touchdowns. I think that playmaking is intriguing for Washington. So I'm moving him into that top five situation. But if you go check out the big board, you'll see my thoughts on those top five options for them. My best guess at those options, as well as other players they could take at 16. And then names to keep an eye on day two and three. So go make sure you go check that out. All right. That's it for here. So let's get to it. First round mock draft. Do your own at home while we're talking about this. Let me know where you are with these picks, not just 16, but the whole draft, or just 16 if you want. And we'll do that right now here on the Standard Groom Only podcast. All right. I intended at various points during this pre-draft cycle to do some live mock draft, but it's been a little busy over here with the selling of the franchise and whatnot. So we're saving the best for last. We are going to do one right now, a live first round mock draft, alternating picks. Nobody better to do that with than our guy from Pro Football Focus, who is one of the draft gurus out there. Trevor Sikkema is with me. Trevor, thank you for doing this. How's life in your world with only a few days to go before the draft?
It's good, man. Sleep's at a premium. I mean, I'm counting down the hours at this point, not just the days. And so I'm very excited to get tonight one of the draft, see how things unfold, and then see how the rest of the weekend goes as well. So this is one of my favorite times of the year. So I'm excited, man. Appreciate you having me on the show.
I think there are people that who love, especially in our business, who love the draft or can't stand it.
Some people for sure.
Cannot deal with, like, I know some of my colleagues hate doing mock drafts. I enjoy it. I like the thought process. Even some people just can't stand the uncertainty, and then there's pressure having to make picks. And I don't know. I enjoy it. Clearly you do as well.
Yeah. No, this is, I am somebody who, this is how I kind of got my start. At the very beginning, I went to the University of Florida and I was a broadcast student there. And something that I did in my free time is I made an NFL draft website so I could like post my rankings of what I thought of these players and scouting reports and things like that. So, I mean, this is how I fell in love with sports coverage and sports broadcasting and all that good stuff. So it is safe to say that I'm a big fan of this whole process. It's a lot of fun for me.
And it is the one way if people like, I'm not saying to do this if you want to get into this industry, but in terms of the NFL, it is the one aspect where you can do it if you don't have any access in terms of the NFL.
Right. Because
you can't come in off the street and just start talking to head coaches and whatever, but you can watch games, you can watch film, you can form your own opinions and then go from there.
Yep. And that was my exact mindset and kind of how it started.
All right. Well, speaking of getting started, let's do this. We're going to, pretty simple. We'll alternate picks. Now, normally it would be nice of me as the host to let the guest go first. However, since Washington is picking with an even number, and yep. I don't want to make that pick. I want Trevor to do it because everybody's heard me talk about this 100 times.
Okay.
I'll go first and then we'll gotta just play it off from there. Plus, the first pick feels like it's gonna be easy, so I'll take that for myself right now.
Are we doing a what we would do mock, or is this a what we think is gonna happen?
I would say what we think is going to happen. I mean, you can express why you would do something different along the way for sure.
All right.
I would say what do we think is going to happen?
Cool.
I would just say this broadly before we start. I'm sure every year you could play back me saying some version of, I don't know, I don't feel very confident. But when you get to the number two pick and I don't have any idea who's going to go there, I feel uneven. Plus, this is not viewed as a very good draft. And relatively speaking to normal drafts. And I think that is going to probably make the opinions even more vast than it's not very obvious who to take would be my broad thought on this class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. It's a class where we've heard general managers kind of speak or give little hints of like, yeah, we don't have a lot of first round grades. And I think I feel as though the average amount of first round grades we're going to have around the NFL this year is going to land somewhere between like 15 to 20, but 31 players have to get picked in the first round, right? I mean, it's not like the first round can end at pick 18. So 31 players still have to go in the first round. And then the second round, it's the same amount, you know, and so on and so forth. So you're just going to get a lot of discrepancy from big board to big board. And that's going to manifest itself in the draft. I do think it's going to be pretty unpredictable. So that makes mock drafts like this one a lot of fun.
That would be wild if you could like say you had a first round pick. You could say, we're going to pass, but we'll take it in the second round. Like, we're just going to pass. We're going to give up the pick, also give up the money. We're just going to move back and we'll start from there.
It'd be a fun way to manipulate the cap. I wouldn't be surprised at anything about how cap gurus could manipulate cap space and money and salaries these days. So
absolutely. All right, so I'll go with the first pick here. The Carolina Panthers, as we know, they made the big trade up a few weeks ago to get this spot. I don't think we need to dilly-dally here too much. It felt like a debate perhaps a few weeks ago, but right now it feels like everybody's locked into Alabama quarterback Bryce Young with the first pick. As somebody who does this, are you cool with Bryce Young going one?
He should, and he should have always been going number one. He's the best quarterback in this draft. I am as a top player in this draft just because he plays the most complex position. He plays the most high-value position, and if we're going to sit here and say that what happens between the ears and what how you process things through your eyes, if those are the things that truly matter the most for incredible quarterback play and Bryce Young is the best at it, I'm going to have him number one. I have to. So I get the size concerns, but I'd be taking Bryce Young, and I wouldn't be thinking twice about it at number one.
All right. Well, number two, the Houston Texans. This is where, at least as of now, we're talking on Sunday. This is where the fun really begins. What's your view of what these guys are going to do? It feels like quarterback, but the last week or so, the buzz is going in a different direction.
Vegas odds are all over the place with this one. And I think some places you look, Will Levis is a favorite. Some places you look, Will Anderson's the favorite. I've seen some buzz for Tyree Wilson. I'm going to say Will Anderson. I'll say Will Anderson here at two because, and I know that might be absolutely crazy, but I do think that we're kind of going that direction. And I believe that Nick Caserio is operating with the assumption that he doesn't have to take one, that it's not like if he doesn't take one here at number two, he's going to get fired. And if Houston does not love a quarterback, then I think they're going to take a defensive player at number two here. I'll have him taking Will Anderson because I think that would be the choice. But then I wonder if the quarterback run is going to start as early as we believe, because we've done a lot of mock drafts before that have, shoot, we can do a mock draft that goes quarterback, 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 start 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, all of them off the board. And we can come up with scenarios where that's the case. I don't think the NFL is that bullish on this class. I don't. So that makes me think that Houston may believe they can operate by taking the top defender and number two, the top non-quarterback at number two, and then potentially use that number 12 pick to trade up, or if a guy that they like is falling, or maybe even select one there at number 12. I don't know if it gets that far, but you know, I think that there might be one or two quarterback options that are still going to be available once we get towards the back part of the top 10. And if that's the case, you're within distance trading up from number 12 up into the top 10. So, though, for those reasons, for all that, I'm going to say Will Anderson at number two.
Yeah, I'm down with that. And I do think as we go through these next few picks, I think you're right. We can talk through the idea of when the quarterback run may start, because all it takes is I think there's one team in particular. If they don't take a quarterback, then this thing really could start to drop off. All right, let's go to the third pick, the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I think everybody's assuming they're going to trade the pick, and I would probably be one of those people. For the purpose of simplicity, we'll just avoid that whole game here. Plus, they may just decide to make a trade one spot down with the Indianapolis Colts so the Colts can get the quarterback they want and the Cardinals can keep what they want to do, fairly simple. I think that the Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson, whichever one of them is still on the board, would probably be my pick. I've definitely talked to some people over the weekend with teams who have at least mentioned Tyree Wilson's got a foot issue that there's some concern about. He has not worked out this whole cycle,
mm-hmm.
but they all seem to still say they would take him fairly high. So I'll roll that dice and just, again, they would probably trade down, but for our purposes, I'll go Tyree Wilson, defensive end out of Texas Tech with a third overall pick.
Yeah. NFL is a lot higher on Tyree Wilson than I am. I've got him early 30s in my rankings.
Oh, wow, okay.
I think people are focusing a little bit too much on the highs of him. Like, there are times when he's super violent. There are times when the length is an absolute menace. There are times when the speed, the power, and the length is crazy and works really well. But there are other times when I think he gets off the ball slow. I don't think he makes contact with a ton of power. I don't think he shows a lot of pass rush moves. And this is a fifth-year guy. Right? He started at Texas A&M and then transferred over to Texas Tech. And this past year was really the first year that he was able to break out. And so I just wonder if the NFL seems to be like, he's this plop and play kind of a really good player. And I don't see him as that. The ceiling is there. I just don't think it's a guaranteed hit of the ceiling. That's just kind of my view on Tyree Wilson.
That's super interesting. You are watching the tape and really studying these guys. I've often said, you know, people know I do the mock drafts. I am coming at this from the perspective of what do I think the teams need, and then I try to get a feel for the board based on what people like you say. I talk to people around the league and try to get a feel for fact from fiction. And when I started this, I was like, Tyree Wilson, I don't know. I guess he'll go somewhere because defensive ends, edge rushers are a premium position. And then I've been sort of surprised how he's been seemingly pushed up. So I don't know if I would have done my head thought what you were kind of saying in around 30, but at the same point, 3 feels aggressive. Part of me kind of wants to take Paris Johnson, to be honest, but I don't know if that again, we're trying to go off of what they might do, and it feels like the momentum has been with one of those edge guys. So
yeah,
again, if they say at 3, that would be my guess.
I would definitely agree. It feels like momentum is having Tyree Wilson somewhere as a top 5 pick. So he could go to Houston at 2, Arizona at 3, Seattle at 5. So I think it's a safe bet to say that he's probably going to be a top 5 pick.
The Indianapolis Colts, I heard they might need a quarterback.
Yeah, I think
call me crazy.
I think they definitely need a quarterback. You know, I am going to go Will Levis here. I'm going to go with Will Levis, even with CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson on the board. And the reason why I'm going to go with Levis is because I am going to follow the Vegas trends, which have Levis a lot higher odds to go number 2 overall than he was a couple of weeks ago, a lot higher to go number 4 overall. Specifically, I think he's minus money on some books to go number 4 overall, which is crazy to me. That somebody 4 picks into an NFL draft would be minus money. But look, Vegas is not in the business of losing money. Those giant buildings in Las Vegas, they're there for a reason. And I think it's because these people who move the books, they don't just do it because, oh, a lot of money's going here, a lot of money's going there. They've got their sources and they've got their people that they talk to. So even with these other 2 quarterbacks on the board, I'll still go Will Levis here at number 4.
If we just went off of your tape watching, is that still the pick for you, or would you go in a different way?
I'd pick CJ Stroud. I would go with CJ Stroud here at number 4. I'd be tempted with Anthony Richardson, given the fact that, you know, Steichen, the new head coach, how much he worked with Jalen Hurts and how much he worked with him to improve his consistency, his accuracy, use his dual threat ability. Like, I'd be really tempted to make that selection there and groom a guy with a super high ceiling in Anthony Richardson. But CJ Stroud is just such a fantastic passer. And Indianapolis is one of those teams that is built well for Stroud to come in and play right away. Like, the rest of the roster is there. You think the offensive line is probably going to play better than it did last year because they were a major disappointment. They've got good offensive weapons there. They have Jonathan Taylor to lean on in the running game. Like, a lot of stuff is there for him. So I think he could play really, really well and thrive in Indianapolis. And so I would be picking CJ Stroud, but we'll go Will Levis here.
Fair enough. And by the way, with the Levis going number 2 overall odds, I know Peter Schrager the other day did a mock draft where he had the Colts and Texans trading with one another. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Peter Schrager has made Vegas change their mind, but all these ideas typically come from something. And I do have, in my head, I have kind of thought that Will Levis for the Colts made sense, assuming that Stroud went 2nd, you know? So I kind of get that, but we'll see. That would be a bit of an upset based on how things have gone over the last, throughout this whole draft cycle. Felt like Levis has been the 4th guy, but we will see. All right. The number 5 pick, Seattle, you've left me with a really, really, really interesting debate. I personally want Seattle to take a quarterback here, not because I think that any of these guys are particularly great, but it's, you know, look, Geno Smith had a really fun year, but even the contract they signed him to is more or less a 1-year deal. They can get out of it next year if they want. They obviously don't want to be picking very high, or hope they won't be picking high in the near future. So you could get that quarterback. Plus, they still have the pick at 20. So they really still have another first-round pick. This is almost a freebie. On the other hand, man, the NFC West, Arizona's dead this year. The Rams are obviously rebuilding. And the Niners, you know, look, they may be the best team in the NFC, if we want to say that. But you tell me who their quarterback is definitively next year. I don't know who that is. So it feels like this division is there for the taking. So I'm very torn between a quarterback or Jalen Carter. As I'm talking to you, I still don't know what I want to do, but I'll go with Jalen Carter. I don't know if that's the right move, but you know what? Screw that. I'm changing my mind again.
Okay.
Let's go Anthony Richardson.
There it is.
This is what I want to do. Nobody's listening. John Schneider's not going to judge me here. Yeah, I just, like I said, they have another pick later. They can get a defensive lineman there. And look, I don't know. Anthony Richardson might be great, might be a bust. They'll have to decide that. But I do like the idea of getting a quarterback. So I'll go aggressive and go about that route.
There's a lot of people that think that that's the smart call, right? And I think that that's why you structured the Geno Smith contract the way that they did, to give themselves the flexibility to take one at number five and still not have to start them right away, set up a really good future. So I think there's a lot of people that are of similar thinking that this is the best bang for their buck that they could have here. You make my life very easy at number six then for the Detroit Lions, because I'm taking Jalen Carter. I think if Carter makes it to six, this is their guy. This is who they're going to take. And obviously a lot to consider with Jalen Carter, even without the arrest for what happened back in January with him being involved in that single car crash. Like, beyond that, you wonder, okay, why wasn't this guy on the field as much as other players were? Okay, is the motor running hot at all times? But then you just get to the highs and you go, nobody was better. Nobody was better at his position. Shoot, I'd say that nobody's better on defense over the last 2 years than this guy. He was absolutely dominant in what he was able to do when he was out on the field. And he's the perfect player that the Detroit Lions need. They need a three tech guy to play next to Aleem McNeil, who could then play the nose tackle position. They've got James Houston and Aiden Hutchinson on the edges. You're hopefully getting back Levi Onwuzurike to be able to play as a rotational player on that defensive line. And so Carter's too perfect for Detroit. So I'm going to pick him there at six.
All right. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Would you have gone to Richardson or that have been the tougher, is that where the tougher call gets? Like,
If you would have gone Jalen Carter, I probably would have picked Devon Witherspoon for the Lions.
Fair enough.
Because I think they need corner, and I think that they'd absolutely love him.
Yeah. Okay. And I think I'm with you there. Plus, like, it's weird to say it, the Lions might be the third best team in the NFC. Like, if they nail this draft.
Yeah, NFC isn't great, but yeah.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, to get somebody who can help you now is as opposed to the project. And, you know, Jared Goff is fine. All right, seventh pick Raiders. I think this is a really interesting one. They definitely keep fronting like they could go quarterback, and I'm not here to say Jimmy Garoppolo is a long-term answer. And CJ Stroud is sitting here. It's not something I've anticipated in any of my other real scenarios. He's more, you know, ready-made package than Anthony Richardson, which would be a little of a risk or a little more of a project. But the cornerbacks are sitting there. Oy vey. All right. You know what? I'm gonna push this back. I'm gonna go with Devin Witherspoon here. Okay. I think the Raiders need that. And you know, look, I know I just made the argument for Seattle to take the quarterback when they have their own version of Jimmy Garoppolo there. But the Raiders, I think, kind of need to get going. Pete Carroll can kind of do what he wants to do. I think the Raiders need to get a winning season here, so they add some immediate help in Devin Witherspoon.
I think they're going to be heavily in on the corner class. Yeah, if they're not picking a quarterback, I think that it's going to be corner for them. And I think they'd love Devon Witherspoon. I think they'd love Christian Gonzalez from Oregon as well. So, yeah, I'm with you there.
All right, so we're up to eight. CJ Stroud still on the board. Atlanta, I mean, you know, they did take Desmond Ridder last year. And, you know, there's some hope there. But, you know, third-round pick, this is a chance to get a guy who, 10 minutes ago, we were all talking about it as the first pick in the draft. So, but they've got other needs as well, particularly on defense. What do you think Atlanta's doing at number eight in this?
So case? I honestly think that if the board falls like this and we got a good quarterback that's still sitting here at number eight, whether it's Levis, whether it's Richardson, whether it's CJ Stroud, I think Atlanta's probably trading back to like the Tennessee Titans at 11 or the Houston Texans, like I was talking about before at 12, because I think the Falcons are going to want to move back to one of those spots, allow one of those teams to go up and get a quarterback. And then Atlanta's a favorite team of mine to trade back up into the back part of the second round to the back part of the first round to go get an edge rusher. Like I think Atlanta in this scenario, this is a perfect scenario for Atlanta. They trade back to 11 or 12. They draft either Christian Gonzalez, Joey Porter Jr., Deontay Banks to play corner at 11 or 12. And then they trade back in the back end of the first round from number 44 to go up and get one of the edge rushers that's there at the back end of the first. Like, that's perfect scenario for the Falcons for me. Well, I don't see that happen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And so for our purposes, screw it. Go ahead. If you want to make it, you know, I'm trying to complicate.
I don't have to do, because then, like, they're moving up, they're moving back. So we don't have to worry about that. I just wanted the good people to make sure that they heard it here first. If that actually ends up happening, that they can say that they heard it on your podcast.
No, but I'm with you, though. I mean, I think this would be an ideal scenario. You mentioned the Titans and the Texans. It's also two teams in the same division. That could be a little bit of a bidding war there. And right, if Atlanta's in on Desmond Ridder, trading down absolutely makes sense.
I'll say Nolan Smith, though, here at eight. I wonder how high he goes in this draft, but I think that the Atlanta Falcons are really going to love what he's going to be able to bring as an edge rusher. So I think it'll be corner or edge for them. They've done a nice job adding to their defensive back room already this offseason with Jesse Bates and Jeff Okuda. So I'll say Nolan Smith. I'll say Nolan Smith goes number eight overall.
Are you concerned at all? I know I've seen somewhere, talked to some people, that their new defensive coordinator likes maybe bigger ends. And he's obviously, one interesting thing with Nolan Smith is he's like, what, 240, 240 pounds, but quick as hell. And, you know, can be productive that way. Is that at all a concern, or is that like an overrated kind of a,
well, aspect? They have their bigger D linemen. Like, the way that their roster's set up right now, it feels like they're a 3-4 team. So they brought in Calais Campbell, they brought in David Onyemata, they have Grady Jarrett already. So that's nose tackle, defensive end. They got Eddie Goldman as well. And then your stand-up edge rushers, you got Bud Dupree, which they signed to a 1-year deal. They got Lorenzo Carter, they have Arnold Ebiketie. So I actually think that it bodes well for them to draft Nolan Smith, because then he would just be a stand-up 3-4 outside linebacker, which I think is his best role.
Okay, I like it. I definitely, the Atlantic taking pass rush help one way or the other is definitely a good move for them. All right, the Chicago Bears now with the ninth pick. Boy, well, they're not going to give them CJ Stroud, so he'll wait a little bit longer here. You know, for a long time, I was going with Peter Skoronski, the offensive lineman from Northwestern, who is typically viewed as the best lineman. But I was talking to one of my colleagues who pays attention to the Bears. He was telling me that if given the everybody's there option, who would he take? He said he would go with Paris Johnson, the tackle out of Ohio State. And, you know, just in talking to people around the league, it does feel like he's ultimately going to be perfect world, the first lineman taken, because he's a tackle, Skoronski, not everybody sees it. So I'll go Paris Johnson, offensive tackle, Ohio State, for the Bears at number nine.
Eagles at 10. I mean, the Eagles could just go so many different directions. Skoronski still on the board. Bijan still on the board.
Okay, can we talk about Bijan since you just mentioned it?
Sure.
I'm in the camp that says don't take running backs early or in the first round.
Right.
Totally get it. But if he is everything everybody's saying he is, and you're the Eagles, you have they could have a 10-year window with Jalen Hurts, but I'm just saying right now you have like a 3 to 5 year window with how the league works to go for it. And the NFC right now, as we said earlier, not exactly in a great shape. If Bijan Robinson's out there, my God, it just feels like that would be a complete nightmare for defenses. So I'm inclined to think that, but I totally get the value is not there in taking a running back.
I don't know what the Eagles would do. I'm going to take Bijan here because I ultimately think that he ends up a top 15 pick in this draft. I just can't see. I don't know exactly where it's going to be. The Eagles built their dynasty by not doing this, right? They built their dynasty by consistently investing in the trenches, going priority positions, trading down, things like that. But you also put yourself in a really good situation. It's almost like budgeting, right? If you budget for a long time, you know, if you budget really well for a year and a half, then you can afford to splurge and take that trip to Europe, right? I mean, you could still end up doing that. So Bijan's the trip to Europe in this scenario. So I'll have him go and tend to the Eagles.
Is it like a trip to like Amsterdam, like the upper north, or is it more like Spain, Portugal kind of
thing? No, I'm thinking, like a little Spain. Maybe you get over to Italy, you know, you take the train over there, maybe you hit both countries. You know, I'm talking like Southern Europe. That's what I'm talking
about. Fair enough. I need to go back myself. Every time somebody talks about going to Europe, I'm like, oh my God, I need to go. All right. 11. I feel like this is a pretty simple one based on how this board fell. The question for me has been, would the Titans take a quarterback? Like, they need one for the long term, But, you know, again, that's a division that's winnable for sure. They have a pretty decent team otherwise. It feels like it's kind of an easier call with CJ Stroud here, so I'll make that pick. But what do you think if it's sort of the Will Levis kind of deal and they need offensive line, they need receiver? You think it's much of a debate, or, you know, with going a different position, or you think they would take quarterback almost no matter who's there?
I mean, there have been a couple of different reports about the Titans at least calling up to some of those top teams, you know, Houston, or when Chicago had the number one overall pick, or the Arizona Cardinals, right? And if you're calling up, you're calling up for a quarterback. You're not calling up for an offensive lineman. So it's got to be at least on their mind. I don't think that's fabricated. So if there's one who's on the board here at 11, you know, whether it's Levis or Richardson or Stroud or whoever it's going to be, I think that they would, well, be definitely in play here.
All right, you are back on the clock at 12 with the Texans. You went Will Anderson at 2. What do you got?
Yeah, so obviously going Anderson at 2, you lose out on the bet with them not getting a quarterback here. I'm not taking Hendon Hooker. I don't think Hendon Hooker is a first-round pick. But like I said previously, if a quarterback was still on the board at pick 8, I think the Texans are trading up to go get him. So instead, they're kind of sitting here and I think they need offensive line. I think they need defensive line. Let's see. I think I might take. Oh. Man. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba's got to be the pick here. They just don't have any wide receivers. And Smith and Jigba can at least be a go-to kind of a player. So I'll pick Smith and Jigba here at 12.
Is he, like, he obviously is a very good player, but is he, I guess, clearly worthy of like a top 12 pick in general, or in a year in which people don't love the receiver, he's the best of the bunch, and therefore if you want to take one, you kind of almost need to take him when he's there.
I think it's the latter. I think it's just more of the latter. It's just a weaker wide receiver class. I think there's going to be less wide receivers that go in the first round this year than we've seen in the past. I think we're conditioned to believe that it's just going to be wide receiver no matter what. And I don't think that's going to be the case this year. There's a lot of doubt with a lot of the other wide receivers in this group. So we had 6 go in 2020. We had 5 go in 2021. We had 6 go in the first round, that is, in 2022. I bet we get 2 or 3 in this year's class. I don't really see the NFL forcing it too hard on these guys.
Okay. 13th pick, New York Jets. Should the Aaron Rodgers trade happen, it presumably is not going to include this pick. It would be probably their second round pick. So no issue here. I think, though, they need to get some help for whoever is going to play quarterback for them, particularly on the line. Like, I'm tempted to say, look, Skoronski is here and he's the best one. But in my head, I just keep thinking they're going to go with tackle, and Broderick Jones from Georgia is here. Maybe this is a bit of a unlikely scenario if Skoronski is still here, but I don't know what the Jets think. If the Jets think he's a guard, then they go this way. So right. I'm going to go Broderick Jones, offensive tackle, Georgia.
No, it makes sense. It totally makes sense, that assessment. I mean, it makes my pick easy with the Patriots. I'll go Peter Skoronski here, so we just go tackle back-to-back. I think Peter Skoronski is more of an interior offensive guy in the NFL, but he's definitely one of those players like Elijah Vera Tucker for the Jets who you could play him at guard primarily if your tackles get hurt and you need him to step in a pinch and you got a better guy on the interior that you could fill in there. He absolutely has the skill to be able to do that. And maybe he develops into a full-time offensive tackle. I think that's well within his future too. He's just a really, really good player.
All right. So this board's getting pretty interesting here, particularly with Washington coming up at 16. We've got the Packers on the clock now at 15. I'm just making sure I have this right here. So Lucas Van Ness, the defensive end from Iowa, still on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Gonzalez, cornerback from Oregon, still on the board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Gonzalez is still there at 16, that almost makes it maybe too easy for you.
We can talk about other options.
No. Okay, if that's the way it is. I'm just trying to think. I don't know the Packers would take a cornerback.
I don't think they would.
Yeah. So, and I know, like, you know, this is a spot where people talk about receiver or tight end, but I'm just going to sort of go with the historic norm that this is probably a bit early for tight end. I think they can always improve the pass rush. I really kind of like Van Ness. I would be fascinated if he was there for Washington because of their uncertainty with Montez Sweat and Chase Young beyond this season. But I'll go Lucas Van Ness, the defensive end from Iowa, at 15 for the Packers.
This was obviously incredibly easy now with Washington. With the board falling like this, and I'd be curious if I'm way off here. So I think Gonzalez is certainly on the board for them. I would say right tackle with Darnell Wright being available. This is all just this feels like a too good to be true scenario for Washington because Gonzalez is here, Joey Porter is here, Deonte Banks is here, Darnell Wright is here. You're not thinking linebacker at 16, but those are the big areas that I always give to them anyways. Am I missing one that they would consider in the first round?
No, I mean, the one I've been pushing is the defensive end, but if they decline Chase Young's option, then both Young and Sweat are free agents after the year. So hypothetically, you could, get their replacement now, but in terms of the immediate need, and if you're Ron Rivera, I don't know how you're thinking beyond this year when, you're probably not going to have your job unless you win. So, yeah, offensive line and cornerback are the two spots that, in general, I've been saying make the most sense for them for sure.
Do you think they're leaning one way or the other?
I think if Darnell Wright is on the board, I would assume you concur, Christian Gonzalez, it doesn't feel like he'll be here. Now, here's the thing. We can say a lot of these guys won't feel like they'll be down here, but that's going to happen. If Bijan goes where right. We had him, if all the quarterbacks go, the four quarterbacks go and the two defensive ends, well, somebody has to slip. But I would assume Gonzalez probably goes earlier. And after Gonzalez and Witherspoon, I don't know that there's a cornerback that I think needs to be picked here. I've been kind of shying away from Joey Porter for them. So I kind of think Darnell Wright would be the answer. I would say maybe keep an eye on Emmanuel Forbes. 16 seems early, but he won't be there at 47. So that would be my other thought at the moment. But yeah, I think Darnell Wright would probably be the one. But to that end, Mel Kiper a few weeks ago had him, Darnell Wright, going 9 to the Bears. Seems like he's getting momentum. What's your view of him relative to the other Tet lineman that we already picked?
I like him a lot. He's my number two offensive tackle in this class behind Paris Johnson Jr. So I like him a ton. I think he'd be a home run pick for him here at 16. It's him or Christian Gonzalez, obviously. But I always, if a team is weighing, okay, it's this or a trench picks, I'm probably going to go towards the trench pick. And especially if they want to upgrade the offensive line, you're going to want to do it here. You're not going to want to wait. So I'll go Darnell Wright at 16 then for those reasons.
Well, love it. All right. Perfect. All right. So Pittsburgh at 17, I'm going to break the hearts of the people who want the lineage to continue, but instead of Joey Porter Jr., got to go with Christian Gonzalez here for the Steelers at 17. So there you go. That's simple enough. Lions back on the clock. You took a defensive tackle at 6. What are you thinking here?
I'm looking at Darnell Washington or Dalton Kincaid. I think Washington is just the Lions kind of football player. We went Carter at 6. I'm going to go Darnell Washington here at 18. They need a tight end. This guy is an extra offensive lineman. When you put him out there on the field, he's unbelievably athletic, alien-like athlete. He's got to be a first-round pick. So I'll go Washington here.
Interesting. Okay, so Darnell Washington, and there's four tight ends are getting a lot of consideration. He is the hulking big man version of one. Is he your number one tight end, or is it number one tight end for what is going on here?
He's my tight end one in this class. He's a number one overall guy. He's the guy that I would bet on for sure. He just brings you such a high floor with what he can be as an inline prospect. He just blocks so well for a player of his size. Like I said, he's almost like an additional offensive lineman for you, so you can use him plenty, even if you're not using him as a receiver on every down, because people worry about the down-to-down emphasis. When he is out there on the field, he's a great blocker for you too, so you don't got to worry about that. His above the rim ability is pretty special given how big he is, how fast he is. He's got great contested catch strength. So now he is tight end one for me.
All right. I like it. Well, you know, you be you. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tampa Bay. I'm going to need 1 second here because typically for Tampa Bay, I'm giving them either Darnell Wright if he slips past Washington or mm-hmm. he's the place I park Bijan Robinson when I don't know what else to do. So I'm trying to see here who is, I mean, Tampa Bay, I don't even know what they're, well, you're Mr. Tampa Bay. Why am I even guessing? Are they in a foot in both worlds? Like they're still thinking they're good enough to compete, especially in a down division, but yeah. Simultaneously, I have no idea what they're doing, you know, at quarterback.
I mean, yeah. I think that they believe that they can compete. And I'm not so convinced that's the case. I don't think they're going to be horrible, but when I look at them at 19, you know, if Nolan Smith is here, I think they go for Nolan Smith, but he's been long gone. And Dalton Kincaid's a really good pick for them as a receiving tight end. They were definitely missing that last year. Brian Branch would be a fantastic pick for him because they need a full-time nickel guy. I think they're going to be really in on Brian Branch. And then Anton Harrison from Oklahoma as well. He's been in on a top 30 visit for them. They need a left tackle after moving on from Donovan Smith. So those are the areas that my eyes always go when we're kind of sitting here around 19. And so those are the players that come to my mind.
All right. Well, I was thinking cornerback or defensive back. So Brian Branch absolutely works for me. I really like him a lot. To me, I would consider him for Washington, especially if they trade down. But 19, Brian Branch, that absolutely works for me. Seattle, back on the clock. I gave them a quarterback earlier. You get to make their other pick now.
Yeah, you gave him Anthony Richardson, 5. I'm going to go with Kalijah Kancey here, I think, at 20. I'll go Kancey over Miles Murphy. Going Kancey over Will McDonald. I'm just kind of scrolling down here. Kancey over Felix Onudike-Uzomah. Mozzie Smith is intriguing, but I still think that they would take Kancey. This is a team that has taken undersized interior defensive linemen before when they give you that pass rush potential, and that's exactly what Kancey is. And so I feel like they've made some decent additions to the interior offensive line or the interior defensive line already that allows them to take a player like Kancey. So they definitely need pass rush one way or another. The defensive line was straight up not good enough at getting to the quarterback. And so Kancey might be a situational player in the NFL, but I feel like Seattle is one of those spots that they can figure out how to make those situations pop up as much as possible with a player who's that talented at getting after the passer.
I like it. He's definitely one of the most intriguing players in this league because people, like, nobody's making the Aaron Donald straight up comparison, but the undersized defensive tackle market, Donald is the poster child for that, obviously. So makes sense to me. All right, Chargers at 21. I've been giving them a tight end for the most part. I kind of, you mentioned blocking before with Darnell Washington. I kind of feel like they need that out of a tight end as well. So even though Kincaid is sitting there, and I know a lot of people think he's maybe the best tight end in this class, I'll go with Michael Meyer from Notre Dame. Best, I think he's the best all around tight end here. So I'll go with him, give Justin Herbert another weapon while also helping him as a blocker as well.
He is, Meyer's a bit more established blocker than Kincaid is. I will definitely agree there.
All right. So what is there? We're up to another quasi-local team here, the Baltimore Ravens. Mm. They've been in the offseason just a little bit because of the Lamar Jackson deal. And I guess, hypothetically, Hendon Hooker still on the board. That would be extreme if they did that, but I'll just at least mention it. What do you think for them?
I think I'm going corner. I like Deontay Banks and Joey Porter Jr. I feel like the league is higher on Joey Porter Jr., so I think I should, with it being a predictive mock, I think I should go JPJ here. I have Deontay at one spot ahead of him. I've got Deontay as my third best corner in this class. I know Emmanuel Forbes is going to be considered for a lot of teams around this range as well, but I will go Joey Porter Jr. because I feel like there's more buzz about him, and they definitely need corner with Marcus Peters not coming back.
The Joey Porter Jr. thing would be fantastic because of the Ravens Steelers dynamic. That would be a lot of fun for sure. Yeah, I like cornerback for the Ravens. there as well. All right, 23, the Vikings. All right, now this is where things get interesting. We talked before about, like, you know, you mentioned if Atlanta was sitting there at 8 and the board fell to what it was, somebody would trade up for a quarterback and Atlanta would move down. If we were doing trades, I think, like, somebody is going to trade into the first round for Hendon Hooker. I don't know if I see it myself, the age, the injury, whatever, but it feels like that's where the momentum is going. The problem is, if we're not going to do trades, if Minnesota doesn't take him here, I don't know who is taking the quarterback on our board. And I know there's been a lot of buzz about Minnesota taking one in general. They also need cornerback, and Deontay Banks is sitting here. Mm-hmm. That would be a pretty good call. So Deontay Banks or Hooker is where I'm at. All right, I'll just say this. I'll go with the player who helps them now. And, you know, Minnesota's in a position, again, with a down NFC, to contend. I mean, I know we can make insert your Kirk Cousins joke here if you want, but I'll go with Deontay Banks, even though I totally get why they might take quarterback. I just don't know if I can do it myself. So I'll go Deontay Banks here, cornerback from Maryland, obviously, for the Vikings. What's your view here of Minnesota with Hendon Hooker?
It seems like Hendon Hooker's got a lot of fans to go in the first round. And so he's very much like Bijan Robinson for me. It feels like he's going higher than we believe. I can't pinpoint it where. It's too far away from where my rankings are. So it just makes it difficult for me to predict where exactly he's going. But I could totally see what you're saying. That, yeah, a lot of that makes sense.
All right. Jacksonville at 24. Jacksonville's picking way down here because, you know, they made the playoffs. And with Trevor Lawrence, they could be in a pretty good position to take another step this year. So what do you think is going to help them do that?
I think probably something in the trenches. I like Brian Branch a lot here, but Brian Branch obviously off the board, so I'm not going to force it with a nickel corner selection. Maybe something along the defensive line, although I like their defensive line. I like Roy Robertson Harris. I feel like Fotokasi played well last year. You got Walker, and you got Josh Allen. Man, what about interior offensive line? I feel like they might be able to use some interior offensive line. Osiris Torrance probably the best of the bunch, but he just doesn't have a lot of versatility to him. And this is what we think would happen.
I do like Torrance myself, but I totally get, though, the lack of versatility. But I guess, you know, when you don't give up a sack in 4 years, that just it's a good stat.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Anton Harrison. They lost Juwan Taylor. They're okay with Walker Little. I feel like they would draft Miles Murphy.
Okay.
It's what we would do, mock. So I guess I'll go with that. I think they would draft Miles Murphy. It just feels like more of a... who's the general manager? How is it? Trent Baalke. It feels like a Baalke pick to draft a really athletic defensive lineman here, and just kind of when you don't know where else to turn, that's kind of what you do, because it feels like that's what he's done his entire general manager career. So we'll go with Miles Murphy at 24.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Brian Branch. Like, this is typically where I've been, like, sending him, but if that's not the case, you know. Edge rusher is one of those spots you can almost never go wrong. If you like the guy, you can almost never go wrong taking them, even if it's not, like, the biggest need. So if that's how, you know, you're kind of, you're hemming and hawing as to what to do, and he's sitting there, it's I think it's an absolutely reasonable call, assuming you, again, one likes the actual player itself. All right, Giants at 25, another NFC East team. You know, I mean, look, kudos to what they were able to do last year with minimal help at wide receiver. I got to figure they've got to address that. I know, like, Zay Flowers, it feels like is, I don't know if it's universal view or what you think, but, like, he may be the number two receiver overall in this class. So Jordan Addison's still here as well, but I'll go with Zay Flowers, give Daniel Jones some more help there at receiver. So that is what I'll do here for the Giants at 25.
I like Zay. Zay is my wide receiver 3 in this class. I got him right behind Quentin Johnson, who I think are probably considerably behind Jack Smith and Jigba in the perception. But I do think that Zay Flowers has a good chance to sneak in as one of those other receivers at the back end of round one. Cowboys are on the clock at 26. They lost Dalton Schultz in free agency. Dalton Kincaid is sitting there for him. I think you're probably taking Dalton Kincaid if he falls all the way. I know that they've got some defensive issues that they've got to address throughout the draft. But if Kincaid makes to him at 26, I think that he is going to be their selection. They're going to want to continue to be able to go to that position quite often in the receiving game. And Kincaid's probably, I mean, Jerry Jones himself would love Michael Mayer because of the pedigree of Mayer coming from Notre Dame and just how long he's been established since his true freshman season. So I think Jerry Jones would absolutely love Michael Mayer, but man, Kincaid feels like he's the perfect match for the Cowboys at 26. So I'm going to go that direction.
Do you have any feel like if Bijan were to slip into the late teens, that Dallas, because that's the other team, right? If they add Bijan,
right,
look out,
right,
with Tony Pollard hurt, any sense from you as to if they would actually make that kind of move if he gets down to the late teens?
Maybe. I wouldn't count Jerry Jones out for anything, but trading up for a running back is kind of rough. You know, like drafting a running back in the first round is one thing. Trading multiple picks to go up to get a running back is kind of a tough ask. So it's hard to predict that, you know?
Right. I'm blanking on the kid's name. The running back from Auburn, who's like considered to be the second running back in this class.
Auburn or Alabama?
Alabama. Sorry. Yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Sorry. Yeah. I see some lists have him as like a top 15 prospect, but just because of the running back, is there a world where you think it makes sense for Dallas to take that guy again, considering their running back situation?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think that Jahmyr Gibbs will definitely be on the board for them at 26. I would definitely say that.
All right. Bills at 27. You know, if a team is going to trade out of the first round for the Hendon Hooker type deal for somebody to move up, feels like Buffalo could be a good team to do that. They could use some more picks, and I don't really love the board for them right here. They definitely could take receiver because, you know, they're lacking beyond Stephon Diggs, offensive line, defensive line. I'll go with, since you mentioned him earlier, I'll go with Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver from TCU here.
Okay.
Give Josh Allen another target and a big one at that. So I'll go with Quentin Johnson and look, you know, if you're competing against Kansas City, you got to be in Cincinnati. You're going to have to be able to score and score a lot. So I'll go with that receiver there.
Mazi Smith's getting a lot of love for the first round. So for the Bengals at 28, I'm going to go some interior defensive line depth, and I'm actually going to give them Mazi Smith. He's just a really good athlete for a player of his size that you can plug into the middle of that defense. I think they've already got a strong defensive line rotation, but you can never have too many pass rushes. And I think when the light comes on for Mazi, he was number one on Bruce Feldman's freak list going into this year for a reason. It's just because he moves super well. And he's also, man, when he gets both feet in the ground and he's ready to lock in anchor, he can really hold the point of attack against double teams too. So I think the consistency is a little more hot and cold than you would want, but he does a lot of things really well. And here at pick 28, I think it would be well worth it for the Bengals. So we'll go Mazi Smith, the defensive lineman from Michigan for the Bengals.
All right. Saints at 29. I just keep coming back to defensive line, almost really anywhere on the line for them. It feels like when people talk about Will McDonald, the edge rusher from Iowa State, it's sort of a people really like the upside or people question the consistency, I guess. But at this point, I think going with a pass rusher, you know, it's a premium position. So I'll go with Will McDonald, the defensive end out of Iowa State for the Saints at 29.
Yeah, it makes sense. That definitely makes sense. Eagles, 30. I went Bijan Robinson for them at 10.
Man. You got, Brian Breze, the defensive tackle from Clemson's out there. You've got.
I think I'm going to go Torrance. Because he could play right away, I think, right? I mean, with them losing Sumelo, that means that they wouldn't have to play Cam Jurgens, who I think that they probably believe is more of just a center. They could play Torrance there instead, and that is a mean offensive line. Yeah, I'm going Torrance here for the Eagles 30.
I like Torrance a lot. He's been somebody like – I just don't think Washington at 16 can justify taking that. but I like him a lot. He's one of my favorite players in this class. All right, last pick, the Mr. Irrelevant for this thing. The Kansas City Chiefs could go, you know, they lose a pass rusher. They obviously lost an offensive tackle. And you know, they also lost Juju Smith-Schuster. You don't have to give Pat Mahomes a lot to get this to work, but you need to give him some more help. Jordan Addison is still sitting here on the board, the wide receiver from USC. You know, I don't know if I think four receivers are going to go in round one, but for the purposes of this, I think that would make a lot of sense for the Chiefs, who I actually think they could be a team that could trade up because they have so many picks. They can't use them all. So it would make sense to package a few and move up. But based on this board, Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC for the Chiefs at 31.
There we go.
Look at that. We did it. They said it couldn't be done, but we did it. Before I let you go, just give me your quick overview of Washington right now. What you kind of think? They kept Deron Payne. They made a couple other minor moves, relatively speaking, but you know, we know they're in some kind of limbo with the ownership deal and they're going to hopefully fill in some gaps here. What's your view on kind of where they're at right now?
Limbo feels like a good word for them, honestly. You know, you look at their quarterback position, obviously it starts at quarterback, and you know, whether Sam Howell gets a start or Jacoby Brissett, you just don't really know. I think it's Sam Howell brings you the higher ceiling, right? Or you hope that he brings you the higher ceiling, because Brissett, more of just kind of this steady Eddie guy who can win some games for you, but you don't think you're making a big playoff run or a playoff push or really starting a winning window with him. I don't think that that's the situation there. But you look at the rest of the roster and, yeah, sure, the offensive line needs upgrades a little bit, but it's not the worst out there. A decent tight end room, got good wide receivers, strong defensive line. Jamie Davis and Cody Barton at the linebacker level. I mean, you got good secondary players. Certainly, again, they could use more secondary players. They can use some more talent there, but this isn't the worst roster in the league. But I also don't think it's one that really scares me. And I think that that's why they've got to have a really good draft, is you got to set yourself up with a couple of other really good young players here. Chase Young's obviously got to be able to turn it on next year. That's going to be huge for him to get back on that track, for him to be a superstar. I think that that's obviously a huge part of it. And then whatever happens with Sam Howell, I think is going to go a long way into telling you whether this team's about to teeter on the side of totally rebuilding or teeter on the side of like, okay, we got our quarterback now. The rest of the roster's here. We can start re-signing some veterans, hopefully stack together a couple of good drafts. But it just feels like the Commanders are at that tipping point of, what are we doing here? Are we about to rebuild, or are we about to kind of take the next step forward?
Well, you know, having an ownership change right in the middle of this, that won't cause any extra hassle or dilemma for anybody, I'm sure. He is at Tampa Bay Trey, T-R-E, on Twitter. A great follow and obviously an insightful guy with the NFL draft as we're here. And tell everybody what else they need to know. What do you guys have on PFF this week that people should check out?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing live draft coverage all 3 days, the NFL draft, from the PFF studios in Cincinnati. I'm going to be on the desk with Chris Collinsworth, with Sam Monson, with Steve Palazzolo, with Seth Galina, with Anthony Tresh, with a lot of different analysts that we have there, breaking down what we are seeing in real time of the NFL draft. So if you guys want to have the main feed on your TV and pull up the PFF feed on your tablet or your phone, we would absolutely love you for it. So come hang out with us if we're watching the draft, but that's the big thing.
You were a kid at the University of Florida doing a draft website. Now you're talking draft on draft night with Chris Collinsworth.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool, man.
What a ride. Good for you. Thanks so much, Trevor, for doing this. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. Many thanks to Trevor Sikkema for his time. Thanks to everyone here for checking out the podcast. We'll have plenty more to come this week. Of course, first round on Thursday. I plan at the moment to do a Thursday pod and then another one on Saturday to wrap it all up. But obviously, we will play it by ear and see what unfolds. But that is it for now. Ben Standick signing off. Until next time. See ya.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.